Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Hello, everybody. New York City's graduation rates were released this week, and Mayor Bloomberg is in I told you so mode.
So that really is quite amazing. Everybody had predicted that our graduation rates would fall precipitously, and that did not happen.
So let's talk about graduation rates, one of the major measures of educational success by a school system. They held steady this year, more or less, but are up dramatically since the start of the Bloomberg administration. City graduation rates have risen by more than 39% since 2005, resulting in the graduation of an additional 57,000 students, according to the mayor. Shale Polakow-Saransky is New York City's chief academic officer and is back with us now. Mr. Saransky, welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
So the raw number for this year was 65%, or 64.7% graduating, compared to 65.5% who graduated in 4 years after last year. Now, that's roughly the same. It's a teeny tiny decline. But this is the first year of the Bloomberg administration in which the high school graduation rates have dropped even a little. So why do you see this as good news?
Well, basically, folks across the state were predicting that there were going to be big declines when the regions phased in their new requirements for graduation. That started 5 years ago in 2009. And each year, they've made it a little bit harder to graduate. And this was the first year that all five Regents exams were required at the score of 65. And so the fact that kids rose to the challenge and actually basically held steady is a real accomplishment. If you look at the data and ask the question, you know, if we were looking at these same standards even 2 years ago, we would have been 10 points lower. You go back to 2005, we would have been at 30% with these standards. So we've more than doubled the rate of graduation if you're looking at these more rigorous graduation standards. And that's because people are working really, really hard in our schools. Teachers and kids and principals have changed the way they're doing instruction. And this isn't enough. We're not satisfied. But this is the way you move from a system that's failing most of its kids to a system that's succeeding with the vast majority of kids.
And the way the mayor put it himself this week?
Yes, the nominal number is down, but the standards are so higher, you're comparing apples to oranges.
So apples to oranges, but now apples to apples from here on. In fact, from everything I'm reading, the tests are only going to get harder. Next year, the Regents exams are going to be aligned with the so-called Common Core curriculum, and I know teachers are worried about how they will prepare their students. Do you expect the Regents exams to be harder to pass, and might that mean graduation rates will drop?
Well, next year what's going to happen is for ninth graders in their algebra classes, the algebra exam will be harder. But kids have their full high school career, all 4 years, before they have to finish all of their Regents exams. So the impact of that tougher exam and the other ones that will phase in the following years, the year after that it'll be geometry, the year after that it'll be English, that will not be felt for 3 or 4 years down the road. And that gives kids time to prepare and learn the new standards and get good at them. And if they don't pass it in ninth grade, they have other opportunities to take it again before they graduate. And really, like, let's be clear. This is not about the test. It's about what do we want our young people to be able to do when they leave high school, and how prepared will they be to compete. And so it's a good thing that the state's making things tougher. It's going to help our kids be better prepared. It's going to help them do better in college and in the workforce. And the other striking thing about this data is back in 2005, the dropout rate was over 22%. This past year, it was 11.7%. It's basically cut in half. And what I see in that data is that our schools are doing a better job keeping kids in school. So even kids that don't graduate on time in 4 years, they can stay on. And if you look at our 5 and 6 year graduation rates, those have continued to rise. And so we now see in 6 years, over 73% of the kids are graduating. And that's what we want. We want kids to stay until they finish, and especially kids who come in with deficits or kids who are learning English for the first time or kids with disabilities. They may need 5 or 6 years, and much better than dropping out is staying in school and finishing in 5 or 6 years.
Listeners, if you have any comments or questions on the New York City graduation rate, high school graduation rate after 12 years of the Bloomberg administration, 212-433-WNYC for New York City's chief academic officer, Shail Polakow-Saransky, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. That standard that you were mentioning of college readiness is obviously harder to achieve. And when you look at the numbers, they're really a lot lower as far as I can tell. The percentage of class of 2012 graduates achieving what you call the aspirational performance measure was just 34%. And the college ready index, which is, I guess, a little bit easier to achieve, just 43%. So are you satisfied with 30-something, 40-something percent of graduates being college ready?
Absolutely not. But I'm proud of the fact that that number has doubled over the last 5 years. And I think that when we look at this data, we have to remember that no one was talking about college readiness before 2 or 3 years ago. And this is not just a New York City challenge. It's about 25 or 30% across the country if you look at the ACT data. And the way you get kids college ready is by giving them tougher assignments and more support while they're in high school. So you need to ask them to write more. You need to ask them to do real research papers. You need to get them involved in hands-on projects where they're really understanding and defending ideas. And that kind of work that draws kids into school and makes it interesting and also pushes on the kinds of rigorous thinking needs to be part of our curriculum. And that's why the Common Core is a big and important shift in how we teach. And if you look at the new schools that have started over the past 10 years, what you see in those schools is building by building, where a failing school had been at 20 or 30 or 40% graduation rate for decades, you're now seeing 70, 75, even 80. I mean, Far Rockaway was at 38%. It's now at 74.5%. Seward Park was at 36%. It's now at 76%. And in those buildings, what you've seen is classrooms coming to life, kids doing really interesting work. And the kids are still high need, and they're still struggling in some areas, but they are struggling productively. And that's the way we're going to get to a higher college
rate. So is that to say that you consider one of the administration's major achievements the breaking up of some of these big old failing high schools into much smaller schools, several of them within the old buildings, and trying to achieve a higher graduation rate that way? Would you put that near the top of what you think you've accomplished?
Yeah, I think that when, you know, I was a principal in one of these buildings, and when I started there, it was a place where kids did not want to be there and the adults didn't want to be there. And you walked into classrooms and it felt like a dead zone. People were counting the minutes until they could get out. And now you go into that building and you see kids deeply engaged in meaningful work. You see art on the walls. You see ceremonies at this time of year where kids are sitting around in roundtable discussions with their parents and members of the community, presenting the projects that they've worked on, defending them, being asked questions that are tough questions, the kind of questions you'd get in a college seminar, and answering them in really poised and thoughtful ways. And that kind of work comes from knowing kids well and really pushing kids to go deeper than just the kinds of skills that you'd answer on a bubble test. And that change isn't just about breaking big schools into small schools. It's about the instructional changes that are happening in those small schools.
We have a lot of people calling in to talk about this, so let's get some callers on the air with Shail Polakow-Saransky, the chief academic officer of the New York City Department of Education. David in Brooklyn, you're on the air. Hi, David.
Good morning. The high school dropout rate is a particular pet peeve to me. And one of the things that I think that there's a solution, and the solution is we don't allow children, teenagers, to drop out in the first place. Now, if we think about it for a second.
And David, for time, I'm just going to take your question and put it to him. And I know this is a conversation that people and systems are starting to have around the country, and that is, why do we allow high school dropping out before the age of 18 anyway? I think it's 16 in New York City now, right?
Yeah, I think it's a fair question, and, you know, there's one question around, you know, what's the law, but there's also a question of why do kids drop out and what can you do to change it? And one of the reasons we've cut the dropout rate in half is we've started dozens of transfer schools, which are for kids that have been on the verge of dropping out or had already dropped out, to get them back in. And in a transfer school, kids get paid internships so they can actually earn money and go through a learning experience. And there's extended social services within those schools to help kids solve some of the challenges that come with getting older and not necessarily being on track to graduation, that actually get kids back on track.
But do you think changing the law, in addition to having these schools available with those kinds of services, that changing the law would be a good thing and practically guarantee that there would be an even higher graduation rate?
Look, I don't know how you force someone who's almost 18 who doesn't want to be in school to be there. I think you need to actually make it a supportive and meaningful environment, which has an opportunity for them to get their needs met and to feel engaged. And I think that's what's going to solve this problem.
Roy in Kearney, you're on WNYC. Hi, Roy.
Well, thank you for taking my call on a very good topic. Okay. My question is the ratio of male and female, the gender gap in this graduation, could you give me some statistics on that? And I believe this technological era we in have taken our young males out of the loop in terms of this gaming that's been preoccupying us. Is there any numbers on that?
Great question.
It's an excellent question. I don't actually have on hand the male-female data. I do know in general boys lag behind girls in the data, but I don't have the exact numbers for you. One of the things that the mayor had announced last year was a specific initiative focused on young African-American Latino males, and we have a bunch of programs that are specifically trying to figure out how do we bring up both college readiness and graduation rates for those students who often are most at risk.
And there is still racial achievement gap, especially in the college readiness category. Are you frustrated with how difficult it's been to close that gap? Because that's been one of the major goals of U.S. as well as New York education policy for over a decade.
I mean, this is one of the biggest challenges we've struggled with. In the beginning of this administration, about 40% of our Black and Latino kids were graduating, and now it's up to 60%. So we've raised that 20 points, which is a huge accomplishment, and it's closed the gap by about one quarter, which is also an accomplishment. But white and Asian students are also rising at the same time. If they had stayed still, then we would have almost totally closed the gap. But that's a good news as well, that those kids are doing well. And we need to keep – most of our system is African-American and Latino. We need to raise the bar for all of our schools and in order to close that gap. And that's why we're pushing so hard on the changes to the classroom. It's why we fought so hard for the teacher evaluation system, because that's going to create an opportunity to push on the practice of what's actually happening day to day in schools. And I think that's going to take us to our next level.
George in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, George.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I didn't think you were going to.
Go ahead.
Listen, I challenge you on this, sir. I hate to do this, but my feeling is there's nothing in the core curriculum and in the present region system that doesn't do anything other than prepare kids to take tests. I don't see children learning what they need to learn to live a life. What they're learning to do is to take a test. And it's very good that you're doing that. I'm glad to see your statistics going up all over the place, but I don't see children learning. Yes, they can do a project once in a while. That's great. But they're learning to learn to read, write, and do arithmetic, the kind that gets them really into college, and then once they get out of college to learn a life, No, they get a high school degree, great. They get a college degree, great. But then what are they going to do? Graduate school then? When are you going to teach them how to live a life, how to earn a living?
So the question, George, thank you. And obviously the question is, if kids have been taught to the test for 12 years and, okay, now they can pass a Regents test and that allows them to graduate from high school, but if they're just learning to take tests, what are they really learning?
I think it's an excellent question and something that we're deeply committed to addressing. Between 1900 and 1960, there were about 18 career and technical education schools started in New York City. From 1960 to 2002, zero. Since 2002, we've created 28 new career and technical education schools that are designed to prepare kids for specific skills and jobs in the workplace. I'll give you an example of one of them. P-TECH, which was mentioned in President Obama's speech at the State of the Union, it takes kids from ninth grade up to grade 14, meaning they get a college degree and they get certification to be an entry-level job at IBM. And what you're seeing in that school, it's just 2 years old now, is that already as 10th graders, the kids in that school have doubled the citywide college readiness rate in just 2 years because they have something very concrete that they're shooting for. They know that it matters that they meet these high school standards so they can get into the college level work and get into the skills and work they need for that IBM certification. And we're continuing to expand that. And it's not just in CTE-specific schools, but in our general schools, we're looking for ways to provide internships and other kinds of hands-on experiences that connect the world to the classroom.
But
it's critical to keep kids engaged.
And we're almost out of time, but what does it mean to be a high school graduate and not be college ready? If you have 60-something percent graduating, but only 40-something percent graduating and labeled college ready, what's the good of a high school diploma if you're not ready for college?
Okay. I mean, let's be honest that in this country, about 25% of our population is getting a college degree. And so it's not that you can't live without a college
right.
degree, but your economic chances are much, much better.
But what's the meaning of the diploma?
The meaning of the diploma
if you're not, in theory, ready to go to at least community college.
Well, I mean, I think that if you look at the actual performance of kids in community college, this is asking the question, do we think the kids are going to do well in college based on how they score on their high school exams? But then if you ask the question, how many kids are actually persisting as they go into college and succeeding, the numbers are a little bit higher than that. They get over 50%. And I agree that our goal needs to be, and I believe that young people in the city have a right when they leave high school to have real choices open to them, including succeeding in college or getting a good job. And so until we're at 100%, I would say we're not done and we have a lot of work to do. That said, this is a new standard that hasn't ever existed before in the city or in the country. And it's something that we have to change how we organize schools and how we set up our curriculum in order to meet that standard. And that's a change that's also happening at the college level. They are rethinking how they do their work, and that's going to help make these numbers go up when kids actually get there.
Shale Polakow-Saransky, New York City's Chief Academic Officer, thank you very much for coming on and breaking down so much of the details and the strategy behind the graduation rate. Thank you
very
much. Brian Lehrer, WNYC. Coming up next, the Taliban says it's ready for peace talks. Hamid Karzai, not so much. And the G8 nations agree to fight corporate tax avoidance. Can society prevail over the accountants? Stay with us.